Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray for souls. We want everyone to go to heaven, right? Well, somebody's got to pray for them. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're crying out for the eternal salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying also for their past, present, future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now and the future and their family members. All grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. All great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, Father, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, we ask that you reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding that by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they would humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And Father, we cry out to you that you get every Christian in a good Bible-believing teaching church. They would then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian would become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free, and all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord Jesus, your people to receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree right now, and thank you for it. And also, Father God, we pray for the Jewish people. We love them so very much. Father, we know their greatest need is salvation. Father, please remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. May they truly see that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Messiah, Savior, and Lord, and they'd be born again from above. And Father, according to your word, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we agree with you. They have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Please restore all that land to them. And we decree there will be no two-state solution because we know the judgment of God comes on those who try to do that. But also, Father God, if anyone in any way tries to harm the Jewish people or the nation Israel, we agree you'll stop them. And if necessary, you'll destroy them. And we thank you for that also. And now, Father God, we know we're in the end of end times. And Lord, you just show us so many things through the prophetic, through your word, and by the Spirit that we need to pray for and against. So, Father, we agree right now for these things. Father, if they have created another virus or are creating another virus and pestilence to release against America and the nations, we curse that virus. We pray you'll destroy it. We pray that you'll crush, burn down the bio labs, and the viruses will die with it, and there'll be no new virus, Father, until after the rapture of the church. We agree right now, Father. We declare that digital currency that they're trying to create is an abomination to you. It's part of the one world government, mark of the beast, end times. And Father, we pray right now all the plans of Joe Biden and his administration, of the deep state, of the WEF, and those, Father God, who are wickedly trying to do this or ignorantly, send all their plans into confusion and derision. May they fight among themselves. May they fight and find no agreement. And we agree there'll be no digital currency, and dollar bills and cash will be strong until after the church is raptured. And also, Father, we pray against terrorism. Father, you've shown us, Father God, you've revealed that there are thousands of Chinese soldiers in America, Father God, waiting to do evil. Father, this is treason. But Father, most importantly, bring to light every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, every person who has come into America to do evil, bring them into the light. And whether it be through law enforcement or your angelic host, drive them out of this country. And Father, don't let them do their illegal deeds in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we're praying for food and water. Father, we know there people are trying to contaminate our water tables. Father, stop these wicked people. We declare we're going to have healthy, clean water to drink, those not only through our wells, but through the city water. And Father God, we need rain. Father, we cry out against the drought. Father, we repent of any sin in America. We repent and ask you to destroy any geoengineering by man to try to bring hurricanes and drought, Father God. We cry out for mercy and grace. And Father, we need your help, Father. Grant great rains. We're praying for 3 to 4 inches of good soaking rains in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And then from this point on, good rains every week, Father God, until you return. And we cry out for that good provision in Jesus' name. And we pray for our food, Father. Don't let them put any more mRNA material into our food, water, plants, and animals. Destroy this, Father God. And Father God, we pray for a great harvest this year of crops, of plenty of food to feed everyone in America, and then send food around the world. And we thank you for that also. And we pray for our power grid. Father, don't let anyone touch our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. We declare fossil fuels are a blessing of the Lord. Lord, let there be more electricity plants. May there be more oil wells dug. May there be more coal mines, Father God. And we're declaring in 2025 we will be energy independent again, and your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance will be put in, Father God, and there would be a season of repentance before the rapture comes. And we thank you for it right now. And we pray for the election. We pray you would stop all election interference, contamination, Father God, ballot harvesting, every evil deed, Father God, that evil people, and even, Father God, from other countries, don't let them hack our computer systems. Father, may it be a fair, honest election, and we agree, Father God, that you've already ordained Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. You've ordained them to be the next president, vice president. We agree with you. And Father, we call it forth by faith. And I pray, Father, that every Christian would get out and vote, Father God. And the 40 million who didn't in the last election, you will convict them. They will get up and do the right thing and vote. And we thank you for it right now. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be talking about the omnipresence of God. And also, we're going to jump into the book of Jonah. I think we need to hear from the book of Jonah. We're going to go to Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? And again, that's when we'll get in the book of Jonah. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Shiloh, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Okay, let's establish something. This, if you're a born-again believer and love and serve Jesus, this will thrill you no end. If you're running from God or you hate God, this ought to bring you to salvation. David got the revelation by the Holy Spirit that every move he made, God was watching, and he was seeing exactly what was taking place. Let me read it again. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Let's just back it up just a little. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you know, that makes my heart feel good. So when we ask God to expose these wicked things going on today, he knows what's happening. He can warn us, and he can get us to safety. You need to be serving God. You are going to have to do special things very soon. Did you hear me? Okay. Another verse backing this up is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Jesus is speaking. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, again, not only does God see every person, every moment of every day, He noticed when a sparrow falls to a ground. He has numbered the hairs in your head. Do you get the picture? Do you realize, oh, I don't think God's anywhere close. God is here. Yes, He's in heaven, but He's here now, and He sees everything. You can't. Every move you make, God sees. Now, let's take it a little further. Back to verse 2. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Okay, He not only knows every move you make, He knows every thought you think. Oh, surely not. Oh, yes. In fact, you even notice when you're reading your Bible, notice here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and powerful. And that's the Bible. It is the word of God. And it's perfect, okay? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. How about that? And of the joints and marrow, and here it is, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the motive. God only knows your thoughts. He knows why you do what you do. Oh, going to be a lot of surprises at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you get the picture here? He knows not only what you did, He knows why you did it. Did you have a pure, honest motive? Maybe there's a lot of things you aren't going to get rewarded for because you did it for the wrong reason. Okay, and then we have to throw in verse 13. We're talking about the omnipresence of God, that He sees everything. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with which we have to do. He knows every thought you think. Now see, understanding this, and I didn't understand this for years, and I don't know the depths of it now, but I realize every moment of my life, God is with me, and He is aware of what I'm doing. And now that I've learned more spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 makes so much more sense. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare, we are in a warfare, in more ways than you know, are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's a fortress of lies that come from the devil and other sources. We'll leave it there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Here it is. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You think wrong, you live wrong. Christians, are you born again? Is being a Christian a full-time deal? Yes. Bringing every thought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. And you might as well pray this. Father, convict me by the Holy Spirit. Show me when I'm thinking anything I shouldn't. And then help me to think the right things in Jesus' name. I'm praying that for me and I'm praying that for you. When I begin to do that, I'm amazed how many times I'm being tempted to think the wrong things. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming, but again, it's not a sin to be tempted. Just bring that thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So, do you get that message? Okay. Not only that, every move you make, every thought you think, you knew what'd be next. Every word you speak, verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. God takes notice of every word I speak, oh, don't laugh, and you speak. And therefore, we need to realize the seriousness of our words, amen? And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, do you know vipers are snakes, don't you? Do you know if you're a snake, Jesus will call you a snake. And remember what he showed Mario Morello about the daughter of lies, and you better not vote for her. And if she gets in, all hell's going to break loose on planet Earth, and especially United States. See, God calls it what it is. If you're a viper, if you're a snake, if you're a liar, God calls you one. So notice, we can't talk that way as Christians. Oh, you better believe we do. Oh, generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Pardon me. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Do you get the picture here? Make sure you speak the right words, and you speak a wrong word, Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Grant me the grace not to do it again. Cleanse me by your precious blood. And then you just go on, right? So he knows every move you make, every thought you think, every word you speak. You can't hide from God. That brings us to the book of Jonah. I feel led to start reading Jonah to you. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Okay, God's got an assignment for his prophet Jonah. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Uh-oh. God gave Jonah an assignment. He didn't want it. My understanding from history is the Ninevites were wicked, evil people. It's possible that they had killed maybe even some of Jonah's relatives, family members, or people he knew and loved. Okay? And so now God's going to have him go preach to them. You think he'd welcome the assignment, but he didn't. So he's going down the opposite way, trying to run from God. Well, you already know that didn't work, but let's just see how it worked out for him. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger of being broken. I've learned something over the last month. I can tell you from the scriptures, there's two sources of weather. Number one is God. We see it right here, and you're going to see it in the book of Jonah. Sometimes it's the devil. Remember when the devil sent a storm to try to drown Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus rebuked it? And now I've become aware, and I know what's true now, through geoengineering, which began back in 1942, there are people that can use machines and affect the weather in the United States for evil. They can create hurricanes and direct their path. They can bring droughts. They can bring torrential rains. So you better start praying. Things got to change, folks. Okay. So there's a new source now. It's man and his technology. Okay. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship from the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He thought he had it made. God told me I ain't about to do it. So he was asleep, just getting some Z's. Let's see how that worked out. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that the God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. They used to cast lots back then. Okay? So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Ha ha! You know God made sure that happened, don't you? Verse 8. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And from where comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Well, again, he's not fearing God enough, is he? But again, he's being honest. This is who I am. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He confessed. Fessed up. That needs to happen today in America, right? Then they said unto him, What shall we do for thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea raged and is tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah knew exactly this storm created by God was getting Jonah's attention, but it was affecting others around him. Do you get the picture here? Okay. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring her to the land, but they could not, for the sea raged and the tempestuous was against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this innocent man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood for thou. O Lord, thou hast done as it pleased. So, you know, it's one thing when they say, No, don't kill me. But Jonah says, Nope, throw me in the sea and it'll be over. You know, that would get your attention. So they realize, hey, let's try to get this straightened out. And they couldn't. So what are they going to have to do? Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Get the picture here. A terrible, dangerous storm. Looks like everyone's going to die. Jonah fesses up. It's me. Throw me in, it'll stop. They throw him in, and the storm stops. Woo! That got some pagans' attention. Notice here, verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Okay. People got right with God. This guy serves the true God. The storm has stopped. We want to know you, God. We fear you. Okay. Well, you know the story doesn't end here, right? It gets really more exciting. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I would have loved to seen that. How about you? I don't know if we'll get to see in heaven a broadcast of some of these things, but man, that was something. God's saying, you're going to do this assignment. And this great fish swallowed him up. He's still alive, and he's there for 3 days and three nights. Let's see what happens. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of Shiloh cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the sea, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again into thine holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depths closed me about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. That had to be something. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with its bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I think I'd be remembering God too. How about you? And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That's a good word today. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He gets right with God. I don't know. I just think I would really fast get right with God in a fish's belly. Okay. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke unto the fish. You can talk to your animals. You can talk to your fish. God talked to this fish, okay? And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God says, nope, you're going to do this, Jonah. Jonah says, yep, I am going to do it now. verse chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Now notice this is a warning judgment message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now Jonah was talking, but he was God's servant. They were believing God. And proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And it caused to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let him not feed nor drink water. So the animals went on a fast too. Of course, they had to go on the fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, this is a good word. Let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. They were mean, wicked people, and they're getting right with God. Say thank you, Jesus. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? And turn away from his first fierce anger that we perish not. Verse 10, And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They got saved. They repented. They got right with God. Hallelujah, right? Now, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying which was yet my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Again, he knows God. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Okay, do you get the picture? Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made a booth for himself. And he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So he's sitting outside. He's mad. They got right with God. He wanted God to destroy him. Do you understand that? He's not happy that God spared these people. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that he might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. Remember, God's doing the weather here. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. And he said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even to death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city in which are more than six score thousand persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Did you get the picture here? Repent, give your heart to Jesus. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.